The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Friday morning, live and local in our WTBR studio. It's Friday, February 20th, already two-thirds of the way through February, headed right towards springtime. Soon enough, but it won't feel like it today because I'm hearing we're going to have a little snow, a little sleet, maybe some ice out there. Not going to be too pretty, I think, so you have to watch the roads and keep your eyes out for that. We'll hear the weather forecast in just a moment on that. We have a great show for you this morning. Stephanie Steed is here. She's the president and CEO of 18 Degrees. And if you don't know much about 18 Degrees, stick around for this hour. You will know a lot more by the time you're done. It's amazing the number of things they do at 18 Degrees. They have a lot of different programs. They serve a lot of different constituencies in the area. And we're going to talk to Stephanie about all of those things, give us a big overview of the organization, talk about the things that they face every day and the challenges. It's going to be a great interview. So looking forward to that. First, let's get to our weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today. You may not like it, but I'm going to play it for you anyway. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect from 10 a.m. this morning to 7 a.m. EST Saturday. Today, snow likely this morning, then snow and sleet with freezing rain likely this afternoon. Snow and sleet accumulation around an inch. Ice accumulation around a trace. Highs in the mid-30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation near 100%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Snow, freezing rain and sleet in the evening, then a chance of snow after midnight. Total snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. Ice accumulation around a trace. Cold. Near steady temperature in the upper 20s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, this forecast, I guess you don't mind the snow so much. 2 to 4 inches of snow we can handle. It's the other stuff I think I'd be most concerned about when I hear about freezing rain or ice, things like that. So definitely keep an eye out there today. Think about where you might be headed and where maybe you don't have to go. But it will definitely be, it sounds like if it hits us, right? I mean, that's the other thing is that we have had a couple of storms that have sort of passed us by. This last one that we had this last week, it just didn't quite make it there. Everybody was expecting something. We got nothing. But then as soon as you do that, that's when you're going to get hit. So keep an eye out. All right. Welcome again to the show. Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301 on your cable dial, Access Pittsfield. Stephanie Steed is my guest here this morning. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for coming into the studio today and having a little conversation with me and the rest of our audience. Great to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. And so before we get into 18 Degrees, let's hear a little bit about yourself. Just meeting you really today for the first time. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to be at 18 Degrees and also in your current position there.
Well, it's a long story. It's been
how
about...
How long have we got?
It started about 2005, actually, when I first joined the agency when it was Berkshire Children and... No, it was BCFC, so yeah. Berkshire Center for Families and Children.
Right.
We've had a lot of transitions since then, as have I.
Mm-hmm.
I first started working with one of our programs in the Springfield area, our foster care and permanency program.
Hmm.
And the work was so impressive and so strong and so impactful. And to see the growth that the agency was making, the trajectory that it was on, really stuck with me. Hmm. And I stuck with it and had a lot of great mentors and supervisors and staff during the tenure that I had. And it all led to me taking the role just 3 years ago as the president and CEO.
Wow.
So it's been a great ride.
Oh, congratulations on that. And yeah, so coming up through one of the programs, probably very instructional in a lot of ways, right? You kind of see what the organization is like and have a strength in one of the areas. And did you also sort of at that time see all the other things that 18 Degrees was doing and sort of get in touch with some of those areas as well?
Oh, absolutely. It was an opportunity for me to really explore the programs, get some insight, the collaborations that happen within the agency, and also build those connections externally.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly working with the foster care and adoption program, getting to meet community members, going to different homes, different neighborhoods. That was really one of the biggest learning curves for me, because you get to hear what's important to families, what's needed to families as they're supporting children who are experiencing foster care.
It's a very person-to-person business, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So much of what we do is just reliant on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationships that we build with the people who come and seek out our services, the people who we support through the work we do, and also the support that we find externally with our community members, with the agencies that partner with us, and those who really fund some of the work that we do.
Yeah. So since you mentioned the foster care and adoption program, let's start with that. That's one of the major components of 18 Degrees, of the things that you do. So take us through that program. What does it involve? And, you know, how do people find themselves in need of those services? And what's the path forward from that?
Well, we are one of the contracted agencies with the Department of Children and Families. So
that's a state department.
Yes. So statewide, there are an average about 2,000 kids who need foster care at any given moment. So we're able to recruit, train, and license foster families throughout Western Mass in order to help them support the children and youth who need that kind of external living environment. So the goal is really to match kids with families. You know, we do a lot of preemptive work where we get to know the kids the best we can. We do a lot of work with families even before kids move in, helping them to understand that there's trauma that comes with the joy and how to balance that and how to really stay focused on the outcomes. And all of the kids come with different goals. Some of them are really looking for that stability until their families find the stability and they can reunify. And some have the plan for adoption. So we've been really lucky to help train and skill up and be a part of families as they've built their structure and have let that it's led to adoption.
So there isn't really a one-size-fits-all there at all, is there? Because I imagine as you were describing that to me, all ages, I assume, of kids
ages.
From probably 6 months to 17 years?
Nope, all the way up to 22
up
years.
Up to 22, very
up
good.
Up
okay.
to 22. And quite honestly, there's a higher need for parents and families who are willing to foster and adopt teenagers and those young adults.
And then, of course, all the different situations, right?
Absolutely.
Where you really have to, I would imagine, learn all of that stuff first before going forward with a plan of what that makes sense. Is it a temporary placement? Is it something that's going to be more permanent? What's the family situation?
Correct. We usually tell our families who are interested in fostering that we hope that they make a commitment for as long as the child needs it. So, again, the goals sometimes are established. Sometimes they are determined once kids find their some stability. And, you know, when you have kids who are older, 14, 15, 16, they might have different plans. And sometimes they have a different plan than the systems do.
I'll bet.
So building those relationships, as we talked about earlier, is really, really the important part. So we help our families just remember that that's what's key.
Because they're really, the older children are, you know, emerging adults, shall we say, right?
Exactly.
And they're going to have some opinions on where they want to be and what they want to do and the situation they're in, where the younger children are, you know, maybe a little bit more dependent on the guidance that comes from the adults.
Exactly. Yes, but there's so many ways that, you know, we can, that we look to have support for kids experiencing foster care. Of course, being a foster parent is one of the primary ones. Mm. But even foster parents need support. So yeah. If someone's not able to parent full time, they can do that on a respite way, where they can step up on weekends or holidays or when the primary foster parent needs a break. And then we also look for people who are willing to mentor young people. So, you know, that part comes within our foster care program, but it also comes within our program that focuses on youth and community development. Mm. Being a mentor is just a special relationship that you can build with a young person and give them access to things that they might not have even considered.
Yeah. You may not even know that you have all that, the skill and wisdom to be able to impart onto someone who needs the mentoring, but you probably do.
Exactly. I think the skill is just being willing to do it. That's the first step. And your interest in sharing that with somebody else is really, really can come naturally once you open up.
How great is the need right now for foster parents and mentors?
It is pretty great, especially coming off of the COVID experiences where we had lots of foster parents to, in their tenure as parents, they worked with the relationships and the kids that they had at that time and then didn't choose to open their homes again.
That was a tough time.
It was a tough time. Tough time for everybody. And, of course, whenever we have the success of building a family and a foster family moves to legalization, sometimes they close and don't take in additional foster children. So we are always looking for resources in any community. There's no real limitation to the standard. You can live in an apartment, a house, you can live on a farm and in an urban area. So we just need the resources, you know, the people to be willing to open their homes. And we do a great job with training and really setting you up for success if that's what you choose to do.
What makes a really good foster family? What's the resume look like for that?
The resume is, do you have a room? First of all, we start with that, some of the basics. And then again, the adaptability, right, and the flexibility, because as you mentioned, the resume and the recipe is different for everybody. Every kid, regardless of their background, has a little bit of a different way of acting. Their personalities are different. So it's just understanding that it's not going to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And every day is going to be pretty exciting.
It's got to be a good fit, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Stephanie Steed is my guest here this morning. If you're just tuning in to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, she is the president and CEO of 18 Degrees, sort of subtitle Family Services for Western Mass, right, is what you use. And I think of it as a Berkshire County organization, but you serve more than that, right? What are the areas that 18 Degrees serves?
Well, our home base is in Pittsfield, where we do most of our programming and supportive services. We are sited administratively in our child care services at 480 West Street. Our child care also extends to Redfield and in two of our public school systems where we have before and after school care at Morningside and Conti. We offer some youth and community development, and we have a site at West Housatonic Street where we can have drop-in, and we have more of our young people accessible to that space. We reach out to North Adams, where we do some of the same, where we reach out to young people needing just a place to land and sit and confer with their case managers or outreach workers. And we're in the schools in North Adams, too.
It's a big county, right?
It's a big county.
Geographically speaking.
A lot of miles we could put on our cars. So we're in a variety of places here in Berkshire County. And then because a lot of our staff does outreach, we are sighted in these places, but we drive and do home visits and do community networking all throughout the county. We also have staff that sit in at our DCF office here, in the Department of Children and Families office here in Berkshire County. Mm-hmm. And we do that as well in Franklin County. So our reach extends there, where we provide that support and service to families and children in that area. And then we do a lot of work in the Pioneer Valley. So in New Hampshire County specifically, and in Hampden County, we have a lot of our foster parents there, and we do some family time visits. So our breadth is far ranging. We cover a lot of miles and areas, but we're really glad to do it. And it really helps with sharing ideas. So when we have staff that come from across the area, we can collaborate and confer about what works in one community and what might we be able to build in another.
And for the foster families, again, if folks are interested in participating in that and maybe, you know, getting themselves into that program, what is that process like? How do they first show their interest, and then how do they proceed from there?
A simple call or email to our office gets you headed in the right direction. And then with the application, there is a training that we have. Mm-hmm. So it really helps to ground and connect you with our staff who are going to be there to support you ongoing. So that process happens before kids move in. And it can take take a few months. Mm. It usually takes about 3 to 6 months before you're fully vetted into the process and able to take kids into your home.
Mm. And then, of course, like you said, there could be temporary placements. So that is something that happens occasionally. You might have someone, a child for a while, but then they move on either back to their family or maybe it isn't the right placement. So you probably have to have a certain amount of flexibility also, right? To know that the ultimate goal is that there are needs for the children, for many different children, and that you're just sort of helping out with whatever is needed at that moment.
Absolutely. And sometimes we're directed by the work that happens with our court-appointed special advocates. They work in collaboration with the Department of Children and Families and the court systems, where they help to advocate for children who can't otherwise advocate for themselves. So sometimes that advocacy results in foster care placements. So if that's another way that you can help kids who are experiencing foster care, if you're not prepared to open your home or you're not don't have the time to mentor, you can become a CASA volunteer, and you can give that kind of an assessment to really help guide what permanency plan is most effective for kids experiencing foster care.
And is that for people that already have children or maybe have had children? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you've had children or not to become a foster parent, to be a mentor, to be a CASA. What really does matter is that you're willing to give a commitment to the process.
Well, great. Thanks for working through that, because, you know, a lot of people don't have a really full understanding of how that all works and what the requirements are. So very interesting. You sort of mentioned early childhood care and education, another big component, right, of 18 Degrees. So there are more than one site. The West Street site that you have is what, the largest that you operate?
It is. Well, we have about 80 kids overall. So between West Street and Redfield, we work with kids, infants up to the preschool age.
Okay.
So it's been established for quite a while. You mentioned that you, excuse me, you are familiar with our child care services.
My kids went there as well. Absolutely. Yes.
So we've done a lot of collaborations with the public school system for kindergarten readiness. So if you have your child there as an infant and they continue to grow and develop and build those skills socially and emotionally, we do a lot to make sure that they're ready for kindergarten. And once they move into kindergarten, if they go to either Conti or Morningside, they can continue to be connected to 18 Degrees through our before and after school programming.
And so, did you say 6 months? is the earliest.
Oh, no.
No, earlier.
As soon as you're ready to to have your child into, you know, and again, that's something that varies with people's needs. Mm-hmm. And we find that, you know, childcare across the state, across the country, it's really the backbone for employment. So you can't go to work if you don't feel like your child has a safe place to be during that time you're away.
Right.
So we're hopeful and glad to offer that to folks who need to go to work.
Yeah, childcare has all kinds of implications because it's not only a family service, but it's really part of the economic engine. If you can't have a place for your children to feel safe and to also grow and become prepared for kindergarten, and those are really critical years, those early education years, then you're also maybe taking a parent out of the workforce.
Absolutely.
And changing their career path. It has all kinds of implications like that, right?
Absolutely. And we're lucky that we're even able to help with that career path by offering the opportunity for some of our staff to place their children with us too. Mm-hmm. So we recognize, again, you need to have a place that you feel comfortable leaving your children during your workday, and we're glad to create that for even some of the members of our team.
Yeah. What are the early education resources like in Berkshire County overall? Is there a greater demand than what we can offer? You know, talk about also finding qualified teachers, instructors, mm-hmm. caregivers. What are the challenges right now in that space?
Well, there's plenty, right? There's always that balance.
I knew there would be. We could talk about that for quite a while here,
between
too.
Between the challenges and successes, sure. So, right, we found that the work we do with early education and care, again, it's linked to a state contract primarily, mm-hmm. but we do also get some funding from other sources to support the work that we do. And whenever there's a change in structure in the government and all the budgetary things, all the work we do has to be sometimes reimagined. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're meeting the guidelines set forth in by our contracts and by our funders, but we also want to make sure that we're meeting the guidelines that our families need.
Yeah.
And the challenges, of course, are making sure that we have a safe space, mm-hmm. and we've been so luckily awarded the Early Education and Out-of-School Time grants, which is going to help us do some remodeling and repair work so that our facilities still remain in good condition so we can provide that. So that's always a challenge, is that.
And it's something that's absolutely necessary, right?
Absolutely necessary.
I'm, you know, dating myself a little bit by saying when my kids went there, but when they did, the building was still pretty new.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's 20 years ago. And so, yes, physical plant and needs, you know, of the building and things, they don't go away. They always need to be maintained.
That's right. And so that's always a challenge, is keeping up with those kinds of repairs and needs. You know, the kids are busy, mm-hmm. and they like to touch stuff. And sometimes that stuff needs to be cleaned and repaired, you know, and we are hoping that we can always keep up with what they need and provide them with exciting and refreshing stuff to play with and to do.
Yep. And the programs, you know, the educational programs are very important as well. So if I'm a new parent today and I am looking for childcare in the Berkshires, mm-hmm. how easy is that going to be for me to get a placement, get a seat, or, you know, a place in for my child? And what are the costs like? You know, what am I going to have to be looking for? Because I know, you know, a lot of younger parents, and we went through this as well at the time, you are making a decision, say, okay, do I go back to work? And how much is it going to cost us to put our child in childcare? And if I'm paying that much, why don't I just stay home?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people deal with those decisions, right? So what does that landscape look like right now for parents?
Oh, it's always a choice that parents have to face, and I can remember doing that with my own children. So it's one of those things that's it's not new.
No, certainly not.
And we're lucky to have a great team that really helps parents to explore those options. we have a lot of opportunities through subsidies and subsidized care that are available to families. So the best option really is to give a call to our enrollment specialists, and they can help identify what resources are available to you to help offset the cost. We want to make sure that kids are getting what they need and parents are able to do what they want. So we do a lot of exploration through the different resources to make sure that if there's a subsidy available to you, that we find it and we apply it to your care.
So basically is making it as affordable as possible.
Absolutely.
Along those lines. And it is obviously the folks that need it the most. The difference between going back to work or not is going to make a substantial difference in their household budget and being able to move forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, to help, we also have transportation, which is, you know, a need for lots of people to get their kids to school. And
what does that transportation look like? What
we have a van service. So we, even for our little ones, our infants and toddlers, we have a van service that's quite successful and careful and prepared to buckle up all the car seats and get our kids from your home to our sites safely.
Wow. And where does that run generally? Does that have a limitation of central Berkshire County?
Yeah, it's right in Pittsfield.
Just primarily. In Pittsfield.
We're looking to expand, but, you know, that takes a little bit of time and effort, but the options are there, and we'll do our best to apply them when they show up.
Yeah. And Stephanie Steed is my guest here this morning, if you're just joining us, president and CEO of 18 Degrees. Let's talk about that sort of other end of the child care when it gets to be early education. It's all education one way or the other. But really that preparation of getting into kindergarten and being ready, being prepared, the kinds of skills that, that our students really need. And also knowing that they're still five-year-olds, right, or four-year-olds. And so they're going to want to sleep. They're going to want to play, you know, it's social development and things like that. What are the most important things you think in that program that are getting these students ready to join their peers in public school?
I think you just stated it. It's really the social and emotional development, right? Because when kids feel confidence and a level of self-esteem and a level of self-control, then they can focus and then they can learn. So we do a lot of that work first. And it starts again early. It starts doesn't start at 5 years old. That starts when you're two and three, where you learn to regulate your emotions and you learn to share and you learn to be kind. And that is really hard work for our educators to implement, but they do it so gracefully, and our kids take to it so well. So the social emotional part, it starts and I don't think it ends. It continues as you go into kindergarten and as you go to elementary school. And we certainly have a variety of programs that help to provide that service to kids.
I think we know some adults that could probably use some social emotional development.
Yes.
I see them all in the Facebook comments. But yeah, that's where it starts, right? And it's so important to have that socialization. And I can imagine during the COVID period, where that I think that was a setback for a lot of kids who were in sort of that pipeline at that moment, and we're still kind of dealing with that in some ways, aren't we?
Absolutely.
At least maybe not the 3 and 4 and 5 year olds that we have now, because they've you know, they were born after, believe it or not, after we went through all of this, right? But some of the folks that got that disruption of COVID are still sort of dealing with that.
Absolutely, and it comes with, again, reassuring kids that they can have time outside of their homes and away from their parents. And, you know, that's that separation anxiety that both kids and parents will feel is something that we have great staff to help with. And again, that the process of keeping kids focused on what's next is really the challenge. So after COVID or during COVID, we really had that isolation happen.
Yeah.
And we stayed open. We provided childcare throughout that time. So,
which was very challenging.
It was challenging, right? But it was necessary. Mm-hmm. We needed to be a resource for those essential workers.
Yeah.
And we're so glad that we had the wherewithal in the workforce to provide that. And we kept that mantra going. We kept that we can do it kind of spirit going post-COVID with our staff. And the kids saw that. So there were some kids who didn't feel the disruption because they still had to come and they were still had a place to go. The sizes of classrooms maybe changed. Of course, we had to have fewer kids then than we do now.
Right.
But we still are able to maintain a pretty good ratio of kids, and that varies between infants all the way up to young ones. But
yeah, you never know when a challenge like that comes through, and you just have to sort of be flexible and be ready.
Yes.
Hopefully we don't see another one of those in our lifetime. I don't think anyone really wants to see that again.
Right. We practiced that. We did that. Let's do something else.
Moving on.
Moving on.
All right. Well, we're reaching the halfway point of our show here, Stephanie, and we're going to take our top of the hour break and thank our underwriters and give our station ID and all kinds of other good stuff. So we'll be back to talk more in the second half of the show. Stephanie Steed's my guest this morning. She is the president and CEO of 18 Degrees, and we're talking about all the programs that the organization operates and all the services they provide to the community. It's we haven't even scratched the surface here in the first half. We'll get to more of that in the second half, and we'll be right back after this. It's 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge on the PCTV Select app and, of course, on channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning about 8:04 on Friday, February 20th. And we've got a little bit of weather coming in today. We'll hear about that in just a moment, and then we'll get back to our conversation with Stephanie Steed. She's the president and CEO of 18 Degrees. Lots to talk about there. But first, let's get to that weather forecast and hear all the nasty details about what's coming our way today. Here we go. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect from 10 a.m. this morning to 7 a.m. EST Saturday. Today, snow likely this morning, then snow and sleet with freezing rain likely this afternoon. Snow and sleet accumulation around an inch. Ice accumulation around a trace. Highs in the mid-30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation near 100%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Snow, freezing rain and sleet in the evening, then a chance of snow after midnight. Total snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. Ice accumulation around a trace. Cold. Near steady temperature in the upper 20s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I would imagine we're going to see some treatment of roads and other things today to keep people moving. But if you don't have to be on the roads, obviously, you should probably, once this thing kicks off, they're saying 10 a.m. is the start. We'll see about that. You want to, if you don't have to be out there, maybe don't do it. But I may have to go back on the snowplow again like I did a couple weeks ago and see how they deal with the ice and the sleet. They certainly do a great job. All of our snowplow drivers and our public works folks do a wonderful job trying to keep our roads clear and passable. And it's a heck of a job, as you probably saw. You can watch that program on our video on demand site if you're interested at pittsfieldtv.org. That was a fun ride that morning with Zeke Libano at the Pittsfield Public Works Department. So, oh boy, quite the winter they've had to deal with this year, for sure. So Stephanie Steed, back with you here in the studio. Thanks again for joining us today to tell us about 18 Degrees. And we were starting to talk about social emotional learning. And in a way, that's kind of a new buzzword concept for a lot of people. But of course, it's been going on for many, many years in education. But there are pathways, it sounds like, that 18 Degrees works toward. And one of the programs that you run is something called Kids for Harmony, which people may have heard about. But tell us more about that, how it got started and what it offers.
Yes. So Kids for Harmony is our classical. It's a free classical music experience that we offer at Morningside and at Cole Groves in North Adams.
Okay.
And it is more than teaching young kids how to play the violin or cello or viola. And it is more because we really help kids first with that social and emotional and behavioral skill set in order to do anything well, and especially to learn to play an instrument well. There has to be that sense of esteem and regulation. And we incorporate that into the musicality of the program. We're the only program. It's all based through the El Sistema Music Foundation. And with that, typically it's just teaching kids to play an instrument. Hmm. But because we're a social service agency, we include and incorporate other parts to help with that. Hmm. And the social emotional learning that happens in addition to the music instruments training.
Yeah.
We also help to support the family. So it's a real wraparound support that we offer. We understand that families have to also feel settled in order for their kids to really learn something new. And our family liaisons, in addition to the teaching artists, are really key to helping establish that well-rounded program. Mm. And with it comes the success and our performances. So the kids are always so proud, and the parents are usually beaming in the audience when they have their concerts. And there's one coming up in March. We have a great partnership with the Zion Lutheran Church, where they have great acoustics, and you can appreciate that.
Yes.
And the kids sound amazing there. And it all leads up to our big gala at Ozawa Hall in Tanglewood. And to really see young students sit there with such poise and grace, again, tapping into that the other skills that help them perform well is amazing.
Well, something about music also, right, that ties in a different part of our brain.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways. And then think about all the other parts of that. And if you haven't seen a performance of Kids for Harmony, you really should get out and see it, because it's impressive. They're just fantastic, at the accomplishments that these kids have made. And there's something, again, about learning an instrument. It's an individual sport, if you will, right? I mean, there's a lot of practice. There's a lot of sort of self-work.
Yes.
That goes into that. But then when you're performing and you're getting together and you're practicing, now you're dealing with other people and you're yes. playing a role, that one part of the whole. And
yes.
that's another whole skill set that I think we seem to be missing a lot of these days, in, you know, when we're involved in our devices, when
yep.
we're one-on-one with a device for many, many hours in a week. This is a different kind of experience, right?
It is, and it shows up differently because we work with kids. They can start the program at third grade, and actually this school year we invited our new cohort of third graders from Morningside to start, and they can stay in the program through graduation.
Hmm.
Last year, we were so lucky to see 10 students graduate, and most of them had been involved with this program, with Kids for Harmony, for years.
So they're staying through graduation of high school, just to be clear.
Graduation of high school,
yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, a few of them have made the next step to prepare to take their music to college.
Hmm.
So it's a long-term investment that they make in building the relationships that help them continue to perform and play music successfully. And it's a long-term investment that our teaching artists and our family liaisons make, not only to the students, but to their families in offering that source of support.
How do you keep a program like that running? How is that funded?
Oh,
because that's another whole story, right?
It is.
And it's
it
obviously
is.
A successful program, and it's
yes.
something that everybody likes and says, okay, we should keep that going. How do you keep something like that going?
We have a lot of generous funders and donors. Our staff write a lot of grants and apply for different sources of funding.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, Greylock Credit Union is one of our funders,
right.
Mass Culture Community Council is another funder. We just seek out the applications, apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said those two, but we definitely have applied and received other grants. And of course, our private funders and donors are so appreciative of what we do and have seen value of what we do
sure.
over the past 13 years and continue to generously support our program with their dollars.
I would think as a donor or a funder of the program, that's a slam dunk, right? I mean,
it's a feel good program.
Yeah, and not only that, you can see the success and how it impacts the students. So, how long has it been running now?
We're at our 13th year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seems like yesterday. That's
Seems
amazing.
Like yesterday.
13. So obviously, like you said, you've had cohorts come all the way through the program.
Yes.
In that
yeah.
time.
Yes. And again, we alternate the opening of cohorts between North Adams and Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our Pittsfield new cohort year. Next year, we'll be looking to include some new students in North Adams. And with that process, it allows new students to really have the attention of the teaching artist for 2-4 years. And then when you become a second year participant in the program, their skill sets are a little bit more refined.
Hmm. And so for any parents or grandparents or anyone of students in those schools who would like to get their students involved, what's the best? I'm sure they hear about it in the school, but just in case, how do they connect and find out more?
Certainly through the schools. Our staff are at the schools. But, of course, all of this information is accessible on our website. And a quick email or a quick call can make sure that we're pointing you in the right direction.
Great. So something to think about if you've got a student coming into maybe third grade. Is that the best time to really start, is the earliest possible?
Yeah. Second, third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be a time, not to say you couldn't do it later if you wanted to, but.
Yeah. And then a lot of the worries that come with you know, starting your child or student to play an instrument, like, oh, where am I going to get the instrument? All that's provided for free.
That's so really important to
it's
know.
It's important to know that it is it's not just the instruction that's free. It's also the instrument that's free.
So really you're taking down those barriers, right?
Absolutely.
All the traditional barriers of I can't do it because I can't afford the instrument. No, you can't. That's not an issue.
Right.
I can't do this. I can't do this. There's a lot of I can't. It,
right.
It seems like Kids for Harmony is one of those programs where there's a lot of I can involved.
They do.
Right?
Yeah. They have a great mantra, the kids. Their mantra is not yet. So if you can't do it now, it's a not yet moment. It's not a I can't.
That's great. That's good attitude. We should all have that attitude. So wonderful program. Let's talk about the Pittsfield Community Connection.
Sure.
That is another major program that you run. Just give us an overview of what that does and who it affects in the community.
So Pittsfield Community Connection and West Main Connection up in North Adams, they offer support to young people ages 10 all the way up to 24.
Okay.
Mostly our target for the folks who participate in this program are those who experience or have experienced violence.
Mm.
And that translates into so many different things and in different ways. We have, you know, the way of the world, you can see violence on TV, you can see it in your neighborhood, you can feel it in your family, maybe you've even been a part of it.
Mm.
And with all those different venues and those experiences, everybody adapts and adjusts differently. So we open the doors through Pittsfield Community Connection to young people all the way up to 24. Again, welcoming you regardless of that experience and hoping to expose you, give you access, and create opportunity for you to have a different kind of experience, to really grow from whatever might have been traumatic, grow from what might have felt the norm for you, and give you a different experience and opportunity. Mm. A lot of what we do is really to be preventative, and that helps, again, when we open the door and we have drop-ins for our young ones.
Mm-hmm.
We come in and we want to show them things that maybe they didn't know that they had the chance to do, or even the wherewithal to do. They might have not even known that it was a thing to do.
So what are some of those experiences like for those youth? They're coming in at 10. They may have had some violence in their past, whether it was family or whether it was peers or bullying. I mean, you tell me. And then what specific experiences they get from this program that help them turn that around?
So again, we have great staff that really do work with them in that social and emotional way, that tap into their sense of belonging and a sense of community. We are able to provide some field trips and take them to places. And exposure is so important to young people. Excuse me. So when you see something outside of maybe your limited scope.
Your bubble.
Right?
Yeah.
You start to think about things differently.
Mm.
Our staff shows up at school in the city, at Pittsfield High School particularly, to offer the level of support to help kids realize that one of their best offices to any kind of violence is through education. So we want to make sure that they feel connected and committed to their schooling process.
Mm.
So sending kids, our staff, to school helps them see that way forward. So there's another supportive services we do. And then also one thing we're so proud of that we've been able to help kids do is to advocate for themselves.
Mm.
So despite the age, we have some youth steering, we have a youth steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we get their point of view about what's important to them, what change is going to be relevant to them and help them stick.
So they're actively involved, basically, in the solution.
Actively involved. We were really, really fortunate to have some of our young people travel to the State House.
Hmm.
So that was...
That would be an eye-opener, wouldn't it?
Completely. Mm-hmm. We had last year, one of the young people who attended said to his caseworker, he didn't think that the State House was open to him. He didn't think that he was welcome there because he had a criminal history. And he was welcome there, and his story was well received there. And that part of exposure just is really empowering him, empowering so many others to see that you're not just your circumstances. You can do something beyond.
And you can choose a different path.
Choose a different path. Speak up about what happened to you and make a difference to maybe who's coming up behind you. So they were quite compelling to our legislators, telling their stories and, again, making a difference on a platform they didn't know that was available to them.
Do they get any tools for managing those kinds of conflicts in their life? I think of, mediation, for example, when, dealing with conflicts other than the ways that, lashing out or using violence or something like that.
Yes.
What are some of those skills that you hope to give some of these youth to be able to manage that?
Yes. So one skill, particularly
restorative justice, was the other word I wanted to say. Yeah.
Yes. So luckily we have a great group of case managers and outreach workers who themselves have a version of lived experience that they bring to the table. So they are able to really relate, since we mentioned earlier, relationships are key to making any kind of change. And having staff who can relate to the young people who come into our door is the first step to that training or to that information to give you some different skill set.
Sure.
They've run various groups that have done some focus points that really tapped into active listening, that really have tapped into the skills of sharing what's important to you, but also giving space to listen to what's important to others. There's been some circle groups, and that's a real evidence-based tool that they use to have kids talk about themselves and given time to explore what opportunities are available to them. So having staff that's really skilled in using the tools to then share it with our young people has been really, really effective.
Do you find that the young people are receptive to some of these new concepts? Because I'm sure that if they're coming in with the need for this program, that they've got some serious issues, right? And turning that around is like turning the battleship around in some ways, right?
Yeah.
But I think you mentioned the relationships and the trust and things like that.
Yeah.
But it takes a while.
It does take a while. Change takes a while in any regard. And it's important for us, and one of the key components to this program is hiring our staff who are in the communities where these young people live, and again, who have had similar experiences to the people that we're working with. So there's some connectivity there. So it's hard for a young person to come in and say, "You don't understand," right? That's a typical statement of a young person.
Absolutely.
And when we do, our staff says, "Well, yeah, maybe I do."
We might have a nugget or two for you. Yeah. Stephanie Steed, my guest here this morning, President and CEO of 18 Degrees, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. We're talking about all the different programs, and the one we haven't touched on is sort of the backbone of the organization, right, is the Family Resource Center. Tell us about that and how that works and the kind of services you provide for that.
A Family Resource Center is located at our 480 West Street site. And it is the backbone because it is the one of our programs, a primary program, where you don't need a referral. You don't need to have a special thing or a special person to tell you to come there.
Yeah.
If you have a need, a question, or want to participate in one of the groups, you come there.
What are some of the needs that families would come to you for help in that area?
Diapers.
Okay.
Well, that's one a simple word, but
sure.
We do have resources where we are able to provide diapers for free for families, and that links again to our child care program. And we talked about affordability and how to make it work. If you don't have to pay for diapers, you might be able to buy something else.
Yeah.
So That's one thing.
Diaper is not cheap, by the way.
Not cheap. Not cheap. But we also have some groups that really focus on supporting young people and supporting families who are looking for a sense of community and connection. Mm-hmm. So one of the groups we have is our Brave Spaces group. And that invites young people who are LGBTQIA or mm-hmm. their allies or their families to come together. We recently changed the name from Safe Spaces mm-hmm. to Brave Spaces.
Okay.
Because we realized that there's a sense of bravery that you need to either have or to build. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to give a sense of an opportunity to build that muscle for our young people. They come together, and recently they put on a show at the Barrington stage. So they do a lot of creative works, and again, works that really lend to support each other and to give voice to what they want and need in the community. We do a lot of work with folks who are maybe have some substance use issues.
Okay.
We want to be a preventative source mm-hmm. of information for those who don't mm-hmm. and a source of support for those who might be struggling.
Yeah, and as we mentioned sort of off mic before, that there are so many organizations and resources available, luckily, to our Berkshire County residents, but all of the organizations tend to sort of partner and work together in a lot of ways. So there's some connections there, right, between what Absolutely. You do with the Family Resource Center and what maybe some of the other social agencies can help with. And maybe right. are there times when you have someone that comes in looking for a resource, but you have to say, well, you know, but this organization over here does that much better. Why don't we refer you to them?
Yes, and really that's the one of the great functions of the Family Resource Center mm-hmm. is that is you don't need a referral to come in, but you often need one when you leave. Mm. And our staff being able to make those connections to say, okay, you're struggling in this regard. It might not be the specialty that we have at 18 Degrees, mm-hmm. but here's some information that can help you. Typically that comes with, you know, maybe housing or rent. We have some great resources here in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to assume that, you know, you as a resident know all the things that can maybe make your life a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. You can come to the Family Resource mm-hmm. Center and we can help you sort through what's necessary.
Good to know. And sounds like you have a great staff there. What's your staff force look like? How many people work there? Across all of the organizations.
Across the whole yeah. agency, we have about 160 full-time and part-time employees.
Wow.
And they're all really connected and committed mm-hmm. to doing the work to the best of their abilities.
Yeah. And, of course, we can't get off the air without talking about volunteers and how important they are to the organization as well. We've got about a minute or so.
Absolutely. Our volunteer pool includes our mentoring, our CASA advocates. So if you want to volunteer, there's room for you to do that. There's so many opportunities that we have available. And we're so lucky that we have had volunteers and interns who've made that first step, really felt committed and connected to the work that we do, and then have sought out employment.
Huh. So that might be a good pathway there to
Great
test
pathway.
It out, see if that's something that you want to explore.
Great pathway.
But how many, I saw a list in your impact report of the volunteers. It looks like dozens to maybe even over a couple hundred.
Yeah, we're probably closer to 100, and that includes some of our interns. We have a great relationship with some of the with the high schools here. Taconic especially sends some young people who are interested in becoming early educators
right.
so that they come into our child care centers and they're able to intern there.
And they have a great vocational program there
great
at Taconic High School.
Program. Yeah. And again, we want to be able to create those pathways, not just for our participants who are seeking out services, but for the community members who might be looking for a pathway to employment.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to leave it there because we're, believe it or not, out of time already. Stephanie Steed, thank you so much for being here this morning and telling us all about 18 Degrees. We'll try and explore some of these programs more in depth as we do future shows. But it was nice meeting you this morning and talking about all these things. If people want to reach you or the organization, how do they do that?
They go to 18degreesma.org, and that's our website. And We have lots of information there. All the clicks that can lead you to the right direction.
Sounds good. That's what you should do. 18degreesma.org. That's the website. All right. Thanks again, Stephanie, for being here. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Everybody, watch out for the storm today and have a great weekend. Morning Drive will return again on Monday at 7:30. Take care.